Until I have learned my heart has been burned, they say I shouldn't dream of your face in the moon. They say all of my dreams will be nightmares too soon. Let them talk, let them think what they want to. If it makes them feel happy that way, I know I'll always love you, no matter what they say. They say you have no lips for a fool such as I. They say you just believe in hello and goodbye. And they say that the one I admire isn't even remotely concerned, and that I go on playing with fire until I have learned my heart has been burned. They say I shouldn't dream of your face way up in the moon. They say all of my dreams will be nightmares way too soon. Let them talk, let them think what they want to. If it makes them feel happy that way, they can keep on talking, I just won't mind. Keep right on talking, they can't change my mind, no matter what they say.
Member King?
Present.
Member Whalen?
Linda, let's skip.
Oh, there. Care Branch.
Here we go.
Linda?
Here? Yes.
Member Whalen and Member Iman just got back on, so we can call them again.
Okay. Member Iman?
Present.
And Member Whalen?
Here.
Thank you.
Very good. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, this virtual meeting is held pursuant to AB 361. The meeting will be virtual because meeting in person would present imminent risks to the health or safety of attendees. The public may only view the meeting on Goleta Channel 19 and or online at the city's website and not in the council chamber. Public forum. At this time, the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Linda, does anybody want to speak?
Would any attendee who wants to speak on an item not on today's agenda please click on the raise hand icon now. No, Chair Branch, no one at this time.
All right, then next item is amendments or adjustments to the agenda. Mary?
Good afternoon, Chair Branch and members. Welcome to the meeting today. We have no adjustments to the agenda. All items are being heard.
Very good. Then let's begin with our administrative agenda and the review and approval of the minutes. Could I get a motion to approve the minutes of May 10th?
So move.
Very good, Jim. Can I get a second? I saw Martha's lips move, but she was muted. So I'm going to
sorry. Martha. I'll second.
Very good. Very good. Any discussion? No, looks good to me too. Very good job, Linda, as always. Let's have a roll call vote on that.
Member DeGasis?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member King?
Aye.
Member Whalen?
Abstain due to absence.
Chair Branch?
Aye. Very good. That rolls us right into our conceptual preliminary final calendar. Item B1 starting us off. Linda?
Okay. B1 is the Panda Express signage located at 131 North Fairview Avenue, APN 077-170-042, case number 22-0014-ZC.
Excellent. Disclosures, has everybody visited the site? Jim?
Yeah, I visited the site, visited several times, no ex parte.
Perfect. Dennis?
I have visited the site and had no ex parte discussions.
Martha?
I visited and no ex parte.
Jonathan?
I visited and no ex parte conversations.
Site visit, no ex parte for me as well. And Christina, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Chair Branch and members of the DRB. Can you see my screen okay here?
Yes.
Great, thank you. The project before you today for preliminary, conceptual, and final approval is new signage for Panda Express store. Panda Express is located at 131 North Fairview Avenue in the Fairview Shopping Center. Fairview Shopping Center does have an approved overall sign plan. However, that sign plan does make it so that the signs in the shopping center do need to come to DRB for approval. They are proposing two signs, a replacement wall sign. You can see here on the left the sign that exists today, and on the right their proposed signage on the wall sign. There's an additional sign that they're requesting. They're requesting a new blade sign. Panda Express has gone through a branding change, so there's a slight change in the logo, and I believe the name of the business with a Chinese kitchen added. So this is the specifications of the sign. The sign meets the sign ordinance and also meets the provisions of the overall sign plan for the shopping center. I'll be here for any questions. And at this time, I would like to turn it over to the applicant, Ms. Sales. I do see that Ms. Sales has raised her hand.
Is her microphone not working?
Okay, sorry about that.
No worries.
I had to be invited or something. It let me be seen then. Yes, we are updating the Panda Express location with their newer signage. Sort of modernizing it, but also following the code and the criteria set forth. I do know, Christina, you mentioned the second sign. I don't think you hit that page. It's just a blade sign, a non-illuminated blade sign to replace an existing one. If you go to sheet, it should be after that main front sign. I just want to make sure everyone understood the blade there. So that is an existing non-illuminated sign. We are doing the same bracket style, et cetera, and doing a full replacement of the existing with a new non-illuminated one. So those are the two signs we're going for.
Is it the same diameter as what was there before?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Okay. This seems pretty straightforward. Let's combine questions and comments. We'll start with Martha. You happen to be first on my.
I have no questions, and I think the design looks good.
Very good. Jim?
I have no questions, no comments.
Jonathan?
No questions, no comments.
Dennis?
Yes, thank you, Chair Branch. Confirmation, please, the Ms. Sales. The existing letters are 18 inches high. I'm sorry, 14 and a half inches high, and the proposed are 18 inches. Is that correct?
Yes, due to the square footage, the original one-line layout did not allow the full 18-inch height. Due to them now changing to the stack format, it was able to be able to maximize that 18-inch height for the word panda.
That's fine. And in your photographs of the existing, could you point out where the existing hanging sign is? Is it underneath that banner or somewhere that isn't visible on the upper left photograph?
It is down. So the front of the building, this is on the side on the walkway near their other entrance door there on the side. So we have the front doors and then this side entry.
Entry. I don't recall it being on a corner, but be that as it may. I have no real problem with the proposal. It does look a bit cramped, and the word express would not be legible the closer you get to the awning. But be that as it may, I find it acceptable.
Very good. I have no questions, and I'm fine with it as submitted. So with that, how about somebody give us a motion for the Panda Express sign?
I move that we accept it.
Maybe ask for public comment.
Son of a, I'm sorry. Any public comment?
Would any persons wishing to speak, please click on the raise hand icon now. Yeah, there are no persons at this time, Chair Branch.
Okay, thank you. Now we can entertain a motion.
So move.
And so we have a motion on the floor by Jim. You may want to add that per the findings from staff, I would think. And then we need a second for that.
Second it, Jonathan.
Seconded by Jonathan. Very good. Any discussion? That, Linda, roll call, please.
Member DeGasis.
Aye.
Member Iman.
Aye.
Member King.
Aye.
Member Whalen.
Aye.
Aye. Very good. Motion passes. Thank you very much. And that will take us to item B2.
Item B2 is Captain Fatty's signage located at 6489 Kelly Riel, APN 077-160-055, case number 21-0054-ZC.
And declarations here, Jonathan?
Did not visit the site, no ex parte discussions.
Very good. Jim?
One visit to the site, no ex parte.
Martha?
Site visit and no ex parte.
Dennis?
No site visit and no ex parte.
And I had no site visit and no ex parte. Brian, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair Branch. Good afternoon. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
All right, great. So we have in the Los Caneros Business Center a proposal for new signage on the west elevation of the Captain Fatty's tenant space. It's about just shy of 7 square foot aluminum wall sign. This center also has a sign plan similar to your last item, which the staff report kind of summarizes its consistency with, along with the sign regulations in the zoning ordinance, and also the general plan. So I think rather than belaboring more of the regulations, I think I can turn it over to Nick with Goleta Signs to present the plans. I am available for questions if need be.
Very good. Nick, are you there?
Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
How are we doing? Thanks for being here. Appreciate your time. Okay, so today's proposal is one halo illuminated aluminum fabricated sign, maximum lower height of 12 inches. It's going to be going on the wall above the entrance and frontage windows. The back is a cinder block, so it's kind of a light gray color. One of the pictures does look a bit dark, but it's more, this is the time of the day that made it look that way. just warm white LEDs, individual mounted letters on the bottom and top. Of course, the top letters, some of them are put together with that custom font. And then there'll be a quarter inch standoff. I believe that covers the sign. It's relatively straightforward.
Yeah, that's what I want to see. Very good. And again, it's non-illuminated, right?
Oh, it is illuminated. It's halo.
Oh, it's halo lit. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
And 2.5 inch depth.
Perfect. Okay. Okay. Very good. Okay, we'll combine comments and questions again. Martha?
I have no questions. My only comment is I feel it's too bad that the 12-inch limit applies. I think it would be nicer, a little bit larger, but it's an attractive sign, and I think it's fine.
I agree with that.
Very good. Jonathan?
I no comments or questions.
Very good. Jim?
No comments, no questions.
Dennis?
No questions nor comments. I feel the proposal is adequate.
I concur with that. So before we get to a motion, is there any public comment?
Would any attendee who wishes to speak, please click on the raise hand icon now. No, Chair Branch.
Okay, with that, then how about a motion for this sign?
I move we accept the application subject to staff findings.
Very good. Can I get a second?
I second it.
Very, very good. Any discussion? And roll call.
Member DeGasis?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Aye.
Member King?
Aye.
Member Whalen?
Aye.
Chair Branch?
Aye. Very good. Nice sign.
Thank you everyone for your time and have a great rest of your day.
Okay, let's go to our conceptual calendar. Item C1, Linda?
Item C1 is primary addresses 5660, 5820, 5748, 5700, 5733, 5697, 5785, 5677, and 5687 Cali Real, APN 069-110-093, 069-110-084, and -085-094-090-095-070-067-059-058. Case number 22-0003-DRB.
Very good. That was a mouthful. Has everybody visited the site, Jim?
Hundreds of site visits. I live around the corner. No ex parte.
Very good. Jonathan?
Site visit, no ex parte.
Dennis?
Site visit, no ex parte.
Martha?
Site visit, no ex parte.
And I've had multiple visits to the site and no ex parte. So, Daryl, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair Branch, members of the DRB. Good to see everyone. Today we're here for a conceptual review for Cali Real Shopping Center. The property owners come forward with requesting feedback from the DRB specifically regarding building facade improvements, parking lots, circulation improvements, landscaping, adding amenities such as social gathering places, enhancement of crosswalks. Today, there's no application associated with this conceptual review. If the applicant does come forward in the future, there will be an associated application, but today they're just looking for DRB review. No new square footage proposed. This is purely the applicant asking and communicating their proposed vision of the complex. Briefly, they're really asking for architectural landscaping and aesthetic changes regarding the architectural style. It appears they're kind of revising their style from a kind of Santa Barbara architectural style to a more modern contemporary style. Other improvements include new paving and sidewalk material changes, stormwater and drainage improvements, landscaping updates. Also, they want the DRB's feedback on new revamp of signage. So there is an overall sign plan associated with this complex. In terms of conceptual review, staff doesn't conduct a zoning consistency or general plan consistency at this time. But in retrospect, the signage will have to conform to the overall sign plan on file. And the properties are zoned, community commercial. And we'll let the applicant team go through their presentation. We should have Steve Fort and his team online here. Steve, are you there?
Yes. Yep. You hear
Great.
Me?
I'll hand it over to you. Thank you.
All right. Are you guys going to bring up the plans and flip through the plans?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
One second here.
Well, while Daryl's bringing up the plans, thanks, Daryl. I'll introduce our team. Steve Fort with Suzanne Ellis Planning and Permitting. Daryl, you mind flipping through just one or two pages just to kind of get to a good intro page? There, just right there is good. Steve Fort with Suzanne Ellis Planning and Permitting. We have Derek Hansen from the Tobes Group with us, and then our members of our design team, Ron Bernhardt and David Sibunas. Also, one of my coworkers is with us today, Haley Kolasecki. I'm just going to do a brief intro, then hand it off to the design team. Again, as Mr. Mimic said, we have not submitted a formal application. We submitted an application to come to DRB for conceptual approval, and we did submit a planner consultation application to planning to reply to some questions about the project and some assumptions. We got some responses from planning and public works. So we're going to take those responses, take your input today. We have a follow-up meeting with planning and public works in a week, and then we're going to go away and hopefully package up a project for a formal submittal, which we think will be a development plan amendment at this point. That could change. An overall sign plan, and also coming back to DRB for a formal review. Also probably road encroachment permits with public works. So like Daryl said, the plans we're going to go through here, just very generally, it's a refresh, a rebrand of both sides of the road, the Calle Real Shopping Center. The center is generally overparked right now. And you'll see as we go through some slides later on, we're proposing to remove some parking and develop some common spaces for customers and the general public to sit outside and gather and eat and just be a little bit more of a modern sort of outdoor oriented shopping center. There will be new landscaping. We would appreciate any comments as we get to that point on landscape palette. We don't have a lot of details on the palette yet, but any input would be appreciated. There will be stormwater improvements. We'll be using the areas where we're removing parking to infiltrate stormwater. We're considering a pedestrian connection to existing residential to the north. And we're also considering a, sort of an enhanced crosswalk across Calle Real, which we can get to as well. So if you wouldn't mind, maybe I'm gonna hand it off to Ron Bernhardt. And maybe go down a couple of slides and we'll get Ron started.
And Steve, if I may, it might be easier if the designer is able to, he can share his screen and go through the plans if that's easier as he talks.
Ron, do you want to do that or I can do it? I have it ready.
Sure. Why don't you go ahead and do that, Steve?
Okay.
You got my screen here?
Yes, we do.
All right. Ron, I'm going to go in a couple of...
Yeah, we'll go to A3.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, just at a high level. But anyway, thank you all for the opportunity to be here today to share this project with you. We've been working with the Tobes team over the past year on the repositioning of this shopping center on both sides of Calle Real, 90,000 square feet. Significant component of the repositioning was the creation of more open space to keep visitors to the shopping center on site with things to do besides just to park a car, pick up something, and leave. So when we go through this presentation, you'll see a significant increase in the amount of open space. Also, another value that was shared with us was the desire to enhance connectivity between the north and south sides of the project as the crossing of Calle Real. And then also allowing for better access from the residential property to the north to be able to walk to the shopping center. As a result of that, we, as Steve mentioned earlier, we did find in our parking research that fortunately we were a bit overparked. Overall, we ended up losing, I think it was 30 some odd stalls. I think we were at 679, we were down to 647 between the two sides combined. And as a result of creating these open spaces, so thought that was a pretty good trade-off. Let's go to page A4. So David Sabunis with our team was the lead designer on the project, and I'll let him sort of speak to the goals of the project and touch a bit on the narrative.
Okay, thank you, Ron. As Ron sort of addressed a little bit earlier, the goals of the project were to reposition the center and create an upscale and fresh customer experience. Introduce a modern structure that creates an iconic landmark. And we're looking to, you know, some of the more agricultural aesthetic of Goleta to create that landmark. Encourage guests to arrive at the site via alternative means of transportation, such as walking or bicycling. Connecting the center to the residential neighborhood and the hotels nearby. Looking to utilize the surplus parking to create open spaces. Promoting daytime and nighttime uses that will encourage guests to stay on the site longer. Enhance the existing structures to reflect better proportions and a modern color scheme. And introduce updated signage and a consistent color palette with new graphics and rebranding. And then, of course, increase the connectivity between the north and south sides of the site with consistent architectural treatments, landscaping, lighting, and the strong cross mid-block crossing. So in introducing all of those elements, we're looking to create a modern and upscale shopping experience that's cost-effective and strategic. The plan is flexible. It's intended to happen all at one time, or it could happen in a series of stages. Key to the whole success of the design is to reduce the amount of parking that's in excess of the city code, encourage alternative means of transportation, and convert surface parking into outdoor and active open spaces. The patio garden, as we see it, is going to be the first stage of the project, and it's going to have an adjacent restaurant to it, outdoor dining, and a conversion into a former parking area into an active outdoor space with a connection to the residential behind and accented with new landscaping, lighting, and a pedestrian connection. The second phase of it we see as the great lawn in the middle portion between buildings A and B. And in that area, we're looking to create an outdoor space out of excess parking. And that's where we're looking to introduce the iconic architectural element, which would be a sort of a communal pavilion where people can hang out and sort of relax. And that's the building that we're hoping to be inspired by the agricultural greenhouses of Goleta and the surrounding area. On the south side of the property near Trader Joe's between buildings E and D, we're looking to eliminate that single row of parking and the secondary access to the loading area to create a fountain plaza there. We would have new landscaping, new paving, new lighting, furnishings, hopefully a fountain. I know it's a bad time to propose a fountain in the middle of a drought, but something that would drown out the noise coming from the 101 freeway and create an active and interesting place. We're looking to sort of relocate some of the tenants there, putting an active coffee shop on the plaza, and then hopefully encouraging Trader Joe's to do some outdoor retail on the plaza as well, selling flowers or something that would help to activate that side. We're also looking at introducing sidewalk dining and perhaps parklets and bulb outs on an as-needed basis at some of the restaurants to help activate the front of the project along Calle Real and to create some interest from the street. If we can go to the precedent image page, that would be great.
Which page?
Let's see, that would be page A5. So in looking at some of the precedents for the project or some of the design inspiration, we looked at a sort of California modern architecture with a clean kind of fresh palette and rich materials such as cut metals, wood, tile, rich pavers that sort of have, you know, colors of the beach and the coast, and introducing woods to the project. In the landscape and furniture, we're looking at, you know, sort of interesting plants that are drought tolerant, lighting, interesting lighting, potted plants, nice furnishings that are durable and relaxing. And then finally in the signage and wayfinding, looking at kind of creating a new brand to the project, a richness in the material palette and the graphics, as well as the notion of perhaps introducing a local art program to the project through a series of murals and artwork that could be located throughout the project. And I'll turn it back over to Ron for discussion of some of the architecture.
Let's probably skip to page A10. There we go. So these are sheets. The next couple of sheets are essentially the north and south sides, overall building elevations. And what we're showing here is the existing facade spanning the entire length of the project and the proposed enhancements that are being made. So in general, building heights are going to be reduced in a number of areas. These large tower elements are going to be simplified and lowered somewhat. And there are some other areas where we are looking at increasing a little bit of the height to add some interest. But in general, the concept is to clean up the architecture, give it a lot more clean and simple lines. On the back side, if you can scroll down a little bit, the back sides of the buildings are fairly barren, obviously. There's parking and servicing behind, and what we're looking at doing there are introducing green screens that allow some plants and vines to grow up and up the face of the wall and create a bit more of a welcoming experience for, particularly on the north side where we've got residents that might be able to walk across through openings in the fence to access the project via pedestrian or bicycle. Let's go to page 11.
I just want to point out to everybody, there are these sort of legend in the bottom right. If you're wondering where we are, it's highlighted here. What buildings we're talking about on which sheet? Go ahead.
Yeah. So these are the south side, and again, the existing condition at the top of the page, the enhanced condition right below that. In addition to some of the simplification and opening up of the architecture, you also see added trees, and again, just really cleaning up the facades is primary objective of this exhibit. Let's go to page 12. So here you can see 3D views. So what we're sharing here of the existing condition, took some photographs, been out to the site a number of times. Got some views that show what the center looks like today and what we're trying to achieve with this repositioning. As David mentioned earlier, one of the strategies is to look at taking some of the food tenants where possible and possibly locate them on the end caps, where we might be able to take advantage of outdoor patio seating. So on the top two slides, you can see a before and after image indicating what might be able to be done with removing some of the parking that is between these buildings, creating a more park-like atmosphere and creating a covered patio for potential outdoor dining. On the slide below, this sort of speaks to the simplification of the building forms and generally also opening up many of the opening up the facades so it's not so dark and hidden. So some of it involves removing some columns and just essentially cleaning up the facades and giving them a more contemporary look. A13, these exhibits start to speak to the materials that David was discussing earlier that were in our source imagery. Give you a sense of the color palette that's being proposed. One important item we should mention here are the, you'll see on this east elevation, building A, lower left, introduction of some murals. The Tobes team's very interested in possibly having local artists contribute in painting murals in some of these more blank wall areas to help activate them where we aren't necessarily looking at glass and glazing. And you'll see that show up on a number of the images as we go through the slide. So this is, each building has sort of their own elevation page with material callouts. Let's go to A14. A14 speaks to what we just discussed earlier on the top two images, an existing restaurant space that's been vacant for a significant length of time. I believe that applicant has already submitted some initial plans for creating more openings in this facade for glass and glazing. And again, looking for an outdoor patio to have some outdoor dining. And then again, simplifying the architectural forms of the existing wedding cake sort of tower to a more clean and simplified tower element that has proposes cut perforated metal at the top that is backlit and give it a little bit of a glow at night. The lower two images speak to a connection that we're looking at creating between a project and the residential to the north. So here you'll see this parking lot replaced with this park and landscaping, creating some gathering spaces, enhance crossing across the service drive behind the buildings that connect to the residential, enhanced screening for transformers and other above ground utilities, and also green screen wall panels, as mentioned earlier, to help break up the rear facades. Next slide. So the slide reflects those that building, and again, you see the use of the murals, the perforated cut aluminum panels that were at the top of the tower, and possibly this arch infill. Simplified roof profiles, and again, green screens on the backside of the elevations to enhance the connectivity to the residential. A16. Yeah, so this is building C, which is on the northeast end of the center on the north side. Speaks again to the enhanced landscaping, simplified architecture, use of more contemporary materials, a metal awning, a steel awning, and we'll have some additional information showing up in a future rendering of how we plan on treating that, and also the pedestrian ways. And again, the lower two slides reflect a before and after images of the end cap space on the west side of building C. This page gets into more detail again on material selections. Most of these facades will share similar materials on both the north and south sides of the development. And again, the primary moves here, opening up the retail and the restaurant facades on the south elevation here, make the vendors more visible for the pedestrians that are walking along the project facade. Page 18, again, discussed simplifying a lot of the existing architecture, removing some of the heavy columns that we find that don't have a lot of structural value, cutting some of the facades back a little bit, again, opening up these storefronts to make them more bright and friendly, more welcoming. Along this particular facade, bringing out the outdoor dining experience, where the pedestrians are actually going to walk around either side on this particular building where we currently split the seating down the middle. We think that's adds enhanced privacy to the dining in front of this building on the south side of the center. And then this rendering down here, sort of shows what the intent is of the pedestrian pathways. Start seeing some of the tile that David mentioned earlier around these columns. Add visual interest at the pedestrian level, and also looking at using a warm wood product on the soffits of these steel canopies with downlights, and then importantly replacing the a lot of the damaged old concrete along the along these walkways with warm pavers. Page 19, just an example of what we might be able to do with an existing tenant. Again, creating the outdoor open patio potential for this particular tenant, and looking at use of architectural metal grill work to enhance the more simplified contemporary facade, and again, continuing these the new pavers along the entire facades of both the north and south. Again, more detail, material callouts for building D. Again, suggesting murals, more or less similar to what we've been talking about on the other buildings. Just again, very more simplified open facades. And I should add a sign, there's no sign program as part of this application currently, but we're looking at creating a little bit more uniformity with respect to how the signs would appear on the project. So they're consistent. They can have different fonts and different logos, but the intent is that they maybe share a similar material. And for the most part, looking at halo and backlit signage. On this page, when I was out there, I saw some of the Trader Joe's employees sitting on tables and chairs that were practically overhanging, and I guess in some cases were overhanging the curb along this facade. So there did appear to be an obvious need for creating places for employees to sit and take lunch or breaks. This was one of our bigger moves here to create this outdoor fountain of reclaimed water, I'm sure, and enhance landscaping to create a plaza atmosphere outside the Trader Joe's, and again, cleaning up the Trader Joe's facade to a more contemporary look. And similarly, on this end where there's currently a Chase Bank, you can see, again, a simplification of the architecture, brightening up of the facades, and just giving it a much cleaner contemporary look. Page 22, just more detail on what we were discussing previously. With all of the material color palette items identified on each of the building elements. And then lastly, on this, for the building design, we've got a color material board that shares the color palette and all of the materials and finishes that we're presently looking at as part of this repositioning of this shopping center.
Very good.
We also took a
Ron, we should kind of get going for him. Just keep moving along.
Keep going. Yeah, got it. Yeah, but high level, we took a look at, you know, looking at a signage location plan to upgrade the signage of the center. This exhibit just shows locations of where we're looking at monument signs, blade signs, areas for murals and so forth, all color coded. The next page shares possible rebranding of the shopping center. None of this has been all that thoroughly vetted with the owner's team. It was just a shot at what some new signs might look like, and what these monument signs that we're looking at is helping to enhance the pedestrian experience crossing Calle Real. I'll let David also is a landscape architect, and I will let David kind of discuss the landscape component of this presentation.
Okay, so I'll try to move through this quickly. Yes. This page is just showing the existing trees that we intend on keeping and some of the ones that we intend on removing from the site. Next page, please. This is just an overall plan showing, This is the overall plan showing the great lawn between buildings A and B, the patio garden between buildings B and C. That was the first initial stage of the project. Looking at the fountain plaza between buildings E and D near Trader Joe's, and then the sort of crosswalk, the mid-block crosswalk across Calle Real that's linking the two projects that we're proposing. We know that there's some street improvements that are master plan, and we're hoping that this fits into that overall master plan, and then as well as some of the sidewalk improvements that we're planning to make throughout the property. Next page. So this is just an enlargement of the Great Lawn Park Plaza area, and looking at that sort of park pavilion in the center that would be sort of inspired by the agricultural architecture of Goleta, that would fit into the overall open space and kind of be an iconic element. As we're showing the outdoor dining flanking that open space, and then some seating in the middle, and just turf area on either side, artificial turf area on either side to create gathering spaces. Next page, please. This is just an enlargement of the patio garden, first phase, showing the outdoor dining area facing out onto the turf, and then the strong pedestrian connection back into the neighborhood apartments to the north. We have the benefit of having the same ownership for the center as we do for the apartments in the back, so the idea of creating a strong pedestrian linkage between those properties would be easier than if it were another ownership. Next page, please. And then finally, just Trader Joe's Plaza, how that could work out. Some outdoor seating, outdoor dining facing out into the plaza, and then possibly an outdoor sales area for Trader Joe's in the plaza itself. And then patio D was just the sort of small outdoor space for the ramen restaurant that we saw in one of Ron's slides. Next page, please. So this is just our preliminary tree and shrub legend. We're looking at primarily all drought tolerant plantings, a few natives, but primarily all drought adapted plants that, you know, would create sort of a garden feel for the project. We've got our water efficient landscape worksheet on the left hand side, and showing that we're coming underneath our allowed water budget for the project. Next page, please. And then just some images of the possible palette, introducing tree aloes and palms, as well as some shade trees. Next page, please. And then we're looking to create kind of a garden feel throughout. So we're looking at these sort of drought tolerant garden plants to be located throughout the project, with a whole series of sort of interesting flowers and fragrance and textures to really enliven the place. Next, please. This just shows the area of disturbance that we're looking at throughout the project. So areas of impervious surface that we're disrupting. We're taking out all the parking along the front. Of course, the areas where we're proposing these new open spaces. So throughout, we've got about 100,000 square feet of disturbed impervious area. But in the outdoor spaces, we would be increasing the pervious area of drainage. And then finally, this is just the civil engineering diagram showing where we would be having possible infiltration and flow direction for the water flow and just the area of improvement. And I believe that's it. Thank you.
Very good. All right. Anything in closing, Steve?
No, just appreciate you letting us take some time there. No, like I said, you know, we haven't submitted a formal application. We're looking for comments from you guys, architecture, landscape, signage, whatever you all feel inclined to comment about, we would appreciate it. We're meeting with staff, planning and public work next week to go over our consultation letter we got from them, and then we'll regroup and hopefully be submitting a formal application for a development plan amendment and sign plan and back to you guys and road encroachment permits in the near future. Thanks.
All right. Very good. Well, before we get to public comment, let's let the board weigh in on it, on what we've just seen. Dennis? You seem to be in the number one position there for some reason.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Chair Branch. A number of questions. We'll start with the most recent. I'm confused about what parking is being removed and replaced. You showed us in the second to the last image. I'm sorry, I didn't catch the sheet number, but in some of the color codings on the sheets, it appeared that you're proposing to replace pavement and paving, but it's not clear what's coming back. We need a diagram so that you understand what
I'm- Steve, can you pull that back up?
Was it A10? I'm not sure.
A7's probably a pretty good-
That's a good one. That's a good one. This implies that parking adjacent to the buildings on both the north and south is somehow being changed. Is it being removed and replaced with pedestrian, or is it the parking coming back?
The parking along the frontages here is coming back.
Okay.
The parking that's proposed to be removed is these four locations.
That much I understand.
Yep. And that will be coming back.
Continuing on that point, if I may, yeah. Are all the arcades and columns being removed?
Arcades and columns?
Yeah. Most of them, yes.
Most of them, yes. All right, then. And Mr. Sabunas, you mentioned briefly a nod to the agricultural area. I don't see any trace of that in this proposed design. I'm just going to lay that out and continue on with my comments here. I think most everybody would agree that this is downtown Goleta. This is where everybody goes. This is where we shop and identify with our community. I really don't see any in your own self-described goal of an iconic landmark here. Now, the architecture as it is, and I totally support this Tobes group keeping an eye on their properties and modernizing them. At least now there is some sense of where you are, that is Santa Barbara County. I know there's a great deal of controversy over we don't want to be Santa Barbara, we want to be Goleta. Let's focus on that. I really don't see anything here that says Goleta. I see Culver City. I see anywhere in Southern California or anywhere really. So I would encourage the designers in the strongest fashion to really distill an identity that speaks of where we are. Because this is the most important thing of our urban life today, because if we don't know where we are, we don't know who we are. And I think your architectural design has completely missed it. Be that as it may, I'd like to go on to some other urban comments. If you could go to a plan that shows all of the buildings, what a concept that you've brought to us, that you're removing parking and creating more public areas. This is just fantastic and can't get enough support. What I would like you to see is to go a little farther. The so-called Great Lawn and the Trader Joe's could be a tremendous pedestrian connection. Now, I know you're not going to redesign the entire street and relocate that, but if you were to consider that relocating those driveways, especially the Trader Joe's, rather than having all that traffic coming in and pointed right at the pedestrian area, the little plaza that you want to create, if those cars were shifted, you would create a more genuine public space that people enjoy. And you probably need some kind of sound wall, not just water, on the Trader Joe's side. And on the north side, regarding my previous comment about removing all of the arcades, well, it's true that they're dark in your photographs, but that northern building is just sun blasted. And without an arcade and or a significant landscape screen along there, it's going to be worse. The amount of glass, the sunlight, I just don't think you really know Santa Barbara, that it can either be brutally hot if you're in the sun or just clammy cold if you're in the shade. So I don't think there's a problem on the south side where it appears that some of the columns may and arcades are retained. But that north side, I would even encourage you to look at reworking that parking so that it's diagonal and that you would give you a narrower throat, if you will, and an expanded pedestrian east-west corridor that could really be an enjoyable pedestrian promenade and experience. Let's see. I think your landscape tree suggestions are more reflective of a Santa Barbara character than the buildings. I think your material suggestions are reflective of a Santa Barbara Goleta experience, but I just don't see that in the buildings nor the signage. I think that's enough, Chair Branch. I'll defer.
Okay, very good. Jim?
Yeah, I've got to agree 1,000% with Dennis. I think that they have totally missed the boat here architecturally. And I am not impressed with these new designs at all, these facades. I'm thinking of the quote from T.S. Eliot, you know, when the wind shall say, these were decent people, their only monument, the asphalt road and 1,000 strip malls. And I think that this looks like any strip mall you would see getting off an interstate, getting off 101 or 95 or wherever the hell you happen to be in this country. And there's nothing about it that says Goleta. People have been going to the existing buildings for I don't know how many years, but everybody knows what they are, who they are, where it's located, and it says Goleta. This design does not. And I am very much opposed to this architectural design. In addition, I agree with Dennis in terms of the parking. And I don't think the questions have been fully answered. And I would like to see more answers. And you can start by giving us more information. I think on that first sheet that you put up, you indicate existing parking numbers, but you don't indicate where the parking is or what it is composed of. There's no indication in terms of whether it's disabled parking, how many disabled parking units there are, whether that's going to increase, whether it's going to decrease. That needs to be put into the plan so that we can understand where this parking is going to be removed and where it's coming from, and then where it's going to go in the future. The other thing that I am very much concerned about is if these open spaces, which I think are a great idea, what are you doing for security? I mean, you already have a problem currently with somewhat deranged people wandering that site. And, you know, if you create more open spaces, there's a very strong possibility you will have more people like that. So what are you doing about security? And the other thing is, I would like to see the emphasis on native trees rather than those palm trees. Those palm trees are not native to California or this area. And, you know, we need to start thinking about who we are and what we are and what this represents. And I'm kind of sick and tired of looking at palm trees. I think I'm in Africa somewhere. So those are my essential comments. But right now, the architectural design of this, I think, is terrible.
Okay, Jonathan.
Thank you, Chair Branch. Just one pragmatic thing regarding parking. The extremely long range of parking spaces, essentially in front of Trader Joe's and that area, is always a nightmare to try to navigate. I don't know if you, the plan may meet the number of spaces that that regulations call for, but it's very difficult to drive along that side of the southern set of structures. And if you're taking some parking spaces away, which I like the pedestrian zones, but if you're pulling parking spaces away from Trader Joe's and Albertsons in that area, it's going to make not only parking, but actually driving through the parking areas even more difficult. So I'd encourage you to look at that a little more closely. I agree with the comments that my colleagues have already made, that I'm in favor of an updating of the appearance, but it doesn't feel to me like we're moving towards Goleta. Maybe we don't really know what Goleta is. I've been connected with the community for about 50 years now. But in my mind, when I think of us as a community, instead of having Santa Barbara Mission, we have the Stowe House, we have the Sexton House, we have a little bit out of our bailiwick, but the Hope House. And there's a little more of the almost a late 1800s Victorian Yankee flair to it, instead of the Spanish emphasis in Montecito, or excuse me, Santa Barbara area. So I'd like us to have a center for our community that at least reflects some of who we are, but maybe we're not quite sure who we are. But in my mind, those are closer to the core values. We're a smaller community, traditionally some agricultural influence, some family influence. We're not tourist centered, and those are my basic comments, but pragmatically that the parking and driving through the parking area on the south side of the project is already a nightmare most of the time. And if you pull out another 30 or 40 parking spaces from that section, I think it'll be even more difficult. And so thanks for the chance to give some input.
Thank you. Martha?
Let's see, I agree that the proposed architectural style is anonymous and it sort of speaks to a West LA aesthetic. However, I like the clean lines of it. I like the fact that it's sort of cleaned up the sort of, ersatz Espanol style that the center has now, which was appropriate and maybe in the 70s when that was done. But I think it is high time that it be modernized a bit, but I do agree that maybe it doesn't particularly speak to a sense of place here. I think that the murals could be an opportunity to reintroduce what Goleta is through maybe some scenery rather than the geometrics. I know those geometric designs are just shown as a placeholder, as it were, but kind of a orange crate label style murals, something like that might help bring into that sense of being in Goleta. I think the materials are rather nice. I like the perforated metal and maybe the simplified tile and the clean quality of the plaster and so on, and the introduction of the wood. I enjoy the consistency of the signage style, and I like the way that the dining areas have a consistent enclosure. I did notice that on your presentation, your illustrative elevations, you had a consistent streetscape of palm trees on both the north and the south side, but in the plan view, it looked as if there were missing palm trees on the south side. So in response to, I think maybe it was Mr. King's comment about canopy trees, typically in shopping centers, the merchants like to have that view from the street toward their windows and signage and so on. And so often we defer to the palm trees in that case. But I think there's an opportunity in the interstitial spaces to have canopy trees. And I would encourage the applicant to maintain, if you can, some of those canopy trees that exist in the places where you're putting the parklets. So there, some of those canopy trees close to the building are quite nice, the firewheel trees and so on. So I think that would be a good thing to look into retaining. And I do think your plant palette's rather nice, but would encourage more canopy trees where you can have them, just to one, conform to the City of Goleta standards, where there's one tree for every parking space, I think is the ratio that you'll need to achieve. And just a little bit more greenery. And I know you're in the early stages here, so and I would encourage keeping as many canopy trees in the parking field as you can. Regarding the arcade quality, I wasn't too clear whether the storefronts are going to stay where they are or if some are being pushed forward, especially on that north side of the shopping center. But I do feel, as Mr. Whalen said, that having that arcade on that on the north side of Kyriel is a nice thing. It sort of creates a stroll opportunity. So I think that is a good element, and maybe to have a flat storefront might be a bit alienating. I think that's about what I have. Yeah. So thank you.
Okay, very good. I will jump in. I'm probably going to be contradicting myself left and right, but that's okay. First of all, I'm really excited that this facelift is happening to this shopping center. I've never been a fan of this architecture. It's felt like a Spanish caricature. It didn't quite go, which it didn't know which way it wanted to go on this. And so I'm glad to see it change. And while I'm a big fan of contemporary style, I agree that, and I like how clean your design is, and I very much like your material palette. But I think that that I agree with Dennis in that it's not there's nothing indicative of its location that makes it unique. And you know, typically kind of one of the go-to palettes for Goleta is Agrarian, which, you know, which you see out at Fairview Shopping Center, and that's great. But this contemporary version you have going, there's something there, but I don't think you're quite at it yet, because there are precedents in our area for shapes and styles that could support that. For example, the former Delco building, which is now FLIR, which is international style, and you know, the long aviation history here with various hangars and stuff like that. So there are kind of local precedents for masses and surfaces and shapes that could lend itself, I think, to this situation. So while I like the contemporary direction that this is going, I think it could fit, but I think you've kind of missed the mark at this point. I would like to emphasize the I like that columns are going away, but I would like to emphasize that north side coverage with regards to the sun. So, you know, whether or not you have you know, a larger cantilever for the roofs to come out on the north side, I think that's important to keep. And even if you need columns, maybe they're thinner and fewer and farther between. That's okay as well. But I think I think you are onto something here. I just don't think you've quite found it yet. I'm in support of all the open spaces and gathering spaces that you have. And while while I think Jonathan hit the nail on the head with regards to the parking at Trader Joe's, you know, as designers, we're put in a tough position of trying to figure out what's going to work for everything in the future. Right now, Trader Joe's is the most populated store in that whole thing. So it's got the most traffic most of the time. And so, you know, I think Dennis's idea of moving that curb cut and doing stuff like that helps that area and makes it nicer at Trader Joe's. But you know, losing parking over there is going to be kind of the Achilles heel of that area. I don't know what the solution is. I'm just being helpful, giving you more problems. So I think those are my thoughts. I kind of like the, I liked Martha's comment about the, you know, the choice of, you know, of doing murals, and that's a way to incorporate the local color of what you're trying to achieve. And I think I'm supportive of, you know, you had kind of done a consistency of the signs that I looked at that was cool, but I guess I would say don't take it too far. You know, there's that shopping center, I want to say in Thousand Oaks or someplace, where they took that to the extreme, and every sign, including Target, I don't know how they got Target on board with that, is they're all brass or brown or something like that. And while that's cool, it's a little homogenous for my taste, but I liked where you went with it, to kind of give it more of a theme that had a consistency to it. So I think those are my comments. I don't have anything else. So so with that, Linda, do we have any public comments?
Would any attendee who wishes to speak on this item please click on the raise hand icon? And yes, we have three people right now.
Okay.
First one is Dana Mark. You have 3 minutes.
Hi there. Yes, I own the building at 5880 Cali Real, which is the Limos Pet Store and the Yogurtland and American Riviera Bank. I want to just tell a quick story about what I've had to deal with regarding the openings going back to the apartments that are on the Carl's Jr. lot. And what I've had to deal with since about 2018, or sometime in maybe early 2019, but I want to say it's more like 2018, I've had to pull crowbars out of leaves that had fallen from huge trees from that lot, and plates and pots and pans, and chase homeless people away, who then just ducked behind the wall by the apartments. And even in conversing with them or saying, what do you do? You know, please don't smoke your cigarette here, you know, with all this brush around. And they say, oh, I just live at these apartments here, you know, and they don't. They're living, you know, a few feet away from an ATM at one of my tenants, which is a bank. And it's very disturbing. And I so much love the design. And I really would love to modernize the front of my building as well. But I believe that these patio places where people gather, as we have seen on State Street and other popular places where those things have been introduced, have easily gotten overrun by homelessness and crime that goes along with that. So that's been my experience. I'm constantly going up there and removing weapons, by the trash bins and whatever else, and doing my best to keep the homelessness off of my property. And I believe that the number one culprit to that are the openings that go to the back apartments.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, the next person is Cecilia Brown.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and DRB members. Thank you for your great comments. I appreciate what you say about how this needs to reflect Goleta's values and not some other jurisdiction. It's really important because this is really our marketplace, our shopping center in the northern part of the city. And as you know, it's very popular. I'm not going to speak too much about architecture because you've done such a good job, but I want to speak about some other issues. I live nearby. Like Mr. King, I'm probably over there 3 times a week, maybe sometimes more when I walk my dogs in the parking lot in the morning, because it's a nice, safe place to do it, and we don't have any lifted sidewalks over there. My concern about reducing parking, which is in excess of city code, is that I don't believe that it reflects how parking is being used in the evening, where you see the parking lots continually full. And I think that would be a detriment to reduce parking near the restaurants. Also, as some have mentioned, the Trader Joe's parking lot is, a lot of people don't speak very kindly about it. And I think if you reduce parking there, you're going to have a lot of angry people, and that's not good. I want to speak about, as I said, I'm a pedestrian. I walk home with two big bags of stuff from Trader's a couple times a week. And I do like walking under those covered walkways. Lots of nice shady. When it's hot, it's hot. And I hope you don't reduce the sidewalk width where pedestrians walk under that. And I do would like, and I would like to see some cover, because I think it's important. And for the few times it rains, it's really important. The string lights that you are proposing as an architectural feature on the park, connecting that area with the pedestrian paths into the adjacent project. You know, while it may look good, it doesn't really, I don't really think it's appropriate here. Realize that these walkways go into the carport area. They don't go into the front of the building. They go back into next to the trash cans and the parking carports. And you also have lots of bedroom windows that will be looking onto that area with these nice shining lights. And quite frankly, I don't think when you come back, you're going to need to do a lighting plan, I suspect, unless you change some of the lighting standards in the project. But string lights just simply won't meet the dark sky standards and DRB, for which DRB needs to make findings. So I would recommend that you reconsider those. Concerning the great lawn, the performance areas, what does that mean? Are there's going to be performers there? And just what hours will they be? I have a whole list. I'll write you a letter. Thank you.
You're muted, Linda.
Next person is Steve George.
Oh, good.
All right, thank you. I am chair of the Newtown Glida Safety. I'm a resident of Encino Royale. And a number of issues I'd like to bring up is, one is I've tried to work with the Tobes Group for close to 7 years, trying to work through some of the issues. And the Tobes Group has declined responding, our phone calls, our emails, our letters. And some of the issues that we have that jump out are the Chase Bank. I noticed that in your photograph, you conveniently placed a truck in front of the stairs that interfere with disability, or people with disabilities trying to navigate that. I would hope that in this process, you're lowering that down and making that a pass through where they can get across to Albertsons without having to go into the streetway and navigate that. The other thing is, we've worked very hard with the Department of Public Works to get two crosswalks in on Calle Real, and one just was finished. The other one's down at Kingston. And I noticed that you didn't even include that in your plan as far as how do you embrace those and how do you support having additional crosswalks. The other key piece here is you probably have heard of the Complete Streets project. This is the opportunity of the century to embrace complete streets, to line up these driveways, get signals in if necessary, and make this really what it should be. This is a national project. There's grant money to support it. And this would be the opportunity. So don't throw away this opportunity to improve the street, get bicycle lanes in there, signals, get rid of the left turn lanes, which are causing most of the accidents that we have there. We've had deaths down here at Kingston. So this is your chance. Don't throw away your chance. I don't have such a huge problem with design. I mean, we've got the Moorish architecture out by by Marketplace. We've got the barn structure over at Fairview. So to say that we have a look, I mean, we just approved the old hotel that now went Palm Springs style on the corner. So anyway, I'm not so concerned about that. I love the idea of improving the area, but I can tell you my community speaks very loudly about losing the parking. I've heard complaints about the pass-throughs, but our folks walk through your apartment complex, through those openings, and walk into the shopping center. And so that is a key issue for us. The question would be is, are you going to embrace us walking through the apartment complex, or is this only the passageway for the apartment complex? So I think there's some technical issues that really need to be looked at here, and don't lose the opportunity to do these, because not often do we get the chance to bring a shopping center, a strip mall, into the millennium and make it a community center. That, you know, that's one of the key problems with the 60s and 70s architecture, is that made all these strip malls that don't embrace a community. We are a community. There's 600 of us over here, half a block away from you, that navigate over to this center. So embrace us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. That is all for this time, Chair Branch.
Okay, great. So since you don't have a formal application, Mary, do we need to vote on this?
No, you have provided comments, which the project, the applicants come before you for, so they can take notes and, take your comments, and then when they file a formal application, they'll come back to you.
That's what I thought. Okay. All right. Thank you guys for bringing that to us. It's going to be a big improvement, I think.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate your time and your comments.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye. Thank you.
All right. That will take us to our last item, item D1 on our advisory review. Linda?
Okay. Item D1 is 500 Santa Barbara Shores Drive, and I'm going to read the APNs. 079-210-013, 079-210-051, 079-442-023, 079-210-014, 079-210-069, 079-445-001, 079-210-015. 079-210-070, 079-491-016, 079-210-019, 079-210-071, 079-210-070, 079-210-024, 079-210-072, 079-210-050, and 079-395-015. This is the Elwood Mesa Monarch Butterfly Grove Enhancement Project.
Chair Branch, before we started, I just want to introduce Mr. George Thompson. He's our open space manager for the Public Works Department, and he is the project manager, person for this project. And I'll turn it over to him.
Very good.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, board. Apologize for that long list of APNs. Our Elwood Mesa is a complicated area with a long history. And today we're asking for actually advisory comments on some of the built elements that are being proposed for the Elwood Mesa. And we have a couple members of our design team that hopefully we can pull over from the public side of the meeting onto the presentation side. So we have Alan Lewis and Jake Minnick from RRM Design Group. And while those folks are getting pulled over, I'll switch over to our presentation and give a little bit of background about our project and our program. Okay, I might start just introducing myself and my role at the city, and then transition over to why we're here today and talk more broadly about the project at hand. I am the Parks and Open Space Manager for the city, so I'm city staff. I oversee the daily maintenance of about 515 acres of public open space and our developed park system. So that includes everything from our playgrounds, our sports fields, our recreation amenities, to wonderful open spaces like the Elwood Mesa, Lake Los Carneros, and quite a few other properties that hopefully you have visited. The Elwood Mesa, as you know, has a long history and a diversity of habitats, including, I think, what it's most known for, the Elwood Monarch Grove. And when we talk about Goleta, I know some of the previous items, there were opinions on, you know, where is the downtown of Goleta? And for a lot of our community, they associate the Elwood Monarch Grove as Goleta. It's on our city logo. We get thousands of visitors a year during the winter months coming to visit the Elwood Monarch Grove to see migratory butterflies that come here primarily during the winter months. These are monarchs that are coming from inland California out to coastal sites, and we are blessed to have one of the premier sites for overwintering butterflies in the state. If you've been there in the past several years, you've noticed that we've had a huge die-off of eucalyptus trees that are the primary habitat for overwintering butterflies. And that's for a variety of reasons, primarily drought. In 2011, the city started a process, a public process, that developed a management plan for the butterfly grove. And the management plan was adopted by the city council in 2019. It is a very high-level programmatic management plan that outlines various programs, including habitat restoration, tree removal programs to reduce risk to the public and to the butterfly grove itself, signage programs, and so on. And so when I reference a programmatic plan at a very high level, it doesn't provide us with the details of what should actually happen on the ground in any specific level. And so in 2020, when I was hired, one of the main tasks at hand was to develop the actual implementation plan for the butterfly grove. That's really the construction documents, the ongoing programmatic elements. When you consider a large open space like Elwood Mesa, over 230 acres, what are the things that the city should be doing on a daily, weekly, monthly, seasonal basis to ensure the continuing existence of the butterfly habitat, and also, you know, visitor serving amenities, trash cans, trail maintenance, signage, and educational programs. And so when we look at the history of Elwood over the past 20 years, from the city side, we haven't had a lot of those elements in place as a new city. And so we're just starting to develop those programs. So to put this proposal in context of what we're going to be presenting today, we have a lot of different elements in this project, and we have short-term one-time elements that we're constructing, and you'll see some of those concepts today, but we also have just the ongoing maintenance items like getting on top of some of the vegetation management issues that we need to implement for reducing wildfire risk to adjacent communities at Elwood, trail maintenance programs, trash removal programs, you know, servicing our trash cans out at Elwood Beach and the Bluffs. So putting those longer term maintenance issues aside, what we're presenting today to the DRB are really the built elements, whether it's replacing existing infrastructure or proposed new elements that are contained in our management plan for the butterfly grove. Let me see if our other team members were pulled over. I don't see them yet, but that's fine. We'll just jump right into the presentation. Okay, so there's quite a few different elements, and to give some context, we provided this color-coded key. I do want to point out that the stars on the aerial are not aligned properly. They got shifted a little bit, and I apologize for that. But if you can just shift all of those stars down just a little bit. If you can see the blue stars, you see Santa Barbara Shores Drive, those two stars. If you were to shift the stars down so that they're covering the R on Drive, that's where all the stars should be. Hopefully most of you have visited Elwood Mesa, and in particular the Butterfly Grove. We've got several proposed improvements. And so the two first items are improvements at the main access way for the Santa Barbara Shores neighborhood, as well as the main access way for our maintenance vehicles and emergency vehicles that service the beach and the wider mesa. So those are Elwood Shores improvements. We also have a culvert that conveys water in Devereaux Creek. that is on the verge of failure. It's completely rusted through, and so we are proposing a replacement of that. There aren't really any aesthetic changes to that. Our goal there is to make it basically an invisible improvement, so you don't notice any visual changes. And then we'll be discussing some of the Devereaux Creek pedestrian crossings signaled there in the green stars, so two proposed crossings. And then we have our main grove area, which when people think of the Elwood Monarch Grove, this is where they go. A good reference is on Google Maps, when you Google the Butterfly Grove in Goleta, that's where Google sends you. And we do have some ability to change where that location is by claiming that site, and we've done that. So one of the considerations is, how do we get people from the public right away, whether it's the parking lot up by Hollister across from elementary, or one of the 12 other entrances into the Mesa. And so that's really talking about trail access and maps that our team is developing. And then we also have contained within the kind of general concept of trail access and visitor serving amenities, we are proposing a fairly elaborate upgrade of our trail system. And one of the things I want to make sure that I'm crystal clear on is our goal for this project is to retain the natural feel of the Elwood Mesa. That is why people go there, to get away from the built environment. But as a public agency, we do have an obligation to provide accessibility where we can, where it doesn't impinge on natural values to the extent where it would damage them. But one of the things that we've seen over the last 20 years is unfettered access to our sensitive resources does result in environmental damage, whether it's creek crossings that are just in the bed of the creek or trails that are not well defined. We have people wandering all over through the grove, particularly during the aggregation season during the winter, and that does actually result in potential damage to the environment. So our approach here is to contain those trails and provide trail delineation where we can, and then all of these built environments we are proposing, as you'll see, the most natural aesthetic as we can. The last item on this list here is habitat enhancement, and I just want to spend a couple of moments talking about that, because the majority of our work that we're going to be doing at Elwood over the next 3, 4, 5 years and onwards is focused on habitat enhancement. And there's a couple different elements to that. One is removing dead down eucalyptus trees or standing dead eucalyptus trees where they pose a risk to increase fire risk via wildfire, just a buildup of fuel, or in the case of standing dead trees, where they actually are posing a risk to the butterfly aggregation sites. So a large, 80 to 100 foot tall dead eucalyptus toppling over and damaging one of the live eucalyptus where butterflies actually will aggregate for months. And then, of course, impacts to trails and trail users where we have fall risks from dead trees. So that's one element of the habitat enhancement. And then the other element is replanting. So we are proposing to replant eucalyptus because they do provide the structure necessary for butterfly habitat overwintering at the site. But we are proposing a large effort on replanting native trees, native shrubs, subshrubs, and then as you come out of the grove, we're looking at introducing a wide suite of native plants that provide a variety of resources, including nectar. We're in the middle of developing those site plans, and I anticipate that we'll be back before the DRB for another advisory review of the larger site enhancement plans. Okay, let's move to the end of Santa Barbara Shores Drive improvements. This is the existing condition. So this is one of the primary neighborhood entrances at the end of Santa Barbara Shores. And as I mentioned in the introduction, this is also our primary entrance for vehicular access for authorized vehicles. So our city parks maintenance vehicles and also emergency access vehicles. So fire primarily, but also EMT ambulances if there's an issue out at the beach or elsewhere in the open space. The current infrastructure that you see here is really a holdover from when this portion of the now public open space was privately owned. And so we see in the image a gate that is too narrow for a lot of our vehicles. And that's where you can see the end sign there. Where this gentleman is walking through that kind of human size opening in the middle of the street right away there, that's actually our current gate. It's not to fire county fire standards. Visually, it does present some issues that we want to clean up through our proposed design. And then some key elements that we want to retain include retaining where that gentleman is walking through, because we do have quite a different set of modes of transportation that use the site, including pedestrian access. You'll note that there's actually not pedestrian access off of the public right-of-way sidewalks. So those sidewalks actually end with a gate currently, just a chain link fence. So we would introduce pedestrian access off the sidewalks, but we do want to retain bike, stroller, and beach cart access where this gentleman is walking, or roughly in that context. And then in the terms of bike access, just envision a surfer that's biking out to Sands Beach or Elwood Beach. That is a different mode of transportation, a different consideration with And then we also want to improve stormwater treatment. A good portion of Santa Barbara Shores neighborhood flows currently through this entryway via gutter inputs. So, you know, our flashy storms just basically cause some water quality issues with unvegetated erosional gullies that terminate down at Devereaux Creek in the background. And then one of the key elements that, you know, for recreational users and residents that are using this site, these brick piers that you see here, and I have another image that shows them closer up, are really nostalgic. And we've got this site with two piers also out at Elwood Beach, or most people know it as R Beach. There's a consistent design theme there, where we have a couple other brick monuments that people really treat as a landmark meeting place. So we want to preserve that aesthetic. So let's take a look at the proposed design. We've got generally cleaning up the visuals and getting rid of some of the older clutter, non-functional gate, bringing up our design standards. So the swing gate that you see here is meeting our county fire requirements in terms of width. We have the ability also to pull that bollard if we do need to bring in larger equipment. And so that you know, simplifies the aesthetic there. You can see on either side of the roadway, we've in the pedestrian access, we've opened up sidewalk access for pedestrians coming in from the neighborhood. And then as you turn the corner on the left side of the image there, pedestrians would come in through that opening and then make a sharp right and go over a small wooden bridgeway that would span that constructed wetland and then join them onto the main walkway maintenance road there. And then similarly on the west side, which is the right side of the image here. Both of the channels on either side of the roadway would be regraded and planted with locally native species that can tolerate higher flows, but then also persist in our long dry season. And so we're thinking of some of the rhizomatous grasses that we have available to us that are locally native. And again, all of the plants that are chosen for this site are actually collected on site. So they're not commercially available species. And we're actually going out and propagating these from Elwood Mesa. So the last element are the brick piers. So these would be reconstructed using similar types of brick that we see on site, likely tumbled to give them that aged effect. And the rendering here is a little bit distorted. It's a fisheye view, but just know that both of the piers are identical in size, dimension. And so the one on the right does appear a little bit larger. They're also in the same plane. So that fisheye view gives that false impression that they're not in the same plane. Okay, moving on. So the central image here does show the existing brick pier. So that's what we're shooting for, including some of the detailing on the cap there. You can see the existing gate aesthetic. And so the two images on either side of that pier reflect our inspirational images. So the one on the left is representative of the type of materials that we would show for the fixed panel. And then the image on the right shows a gate detail standard that actually is taken from one of the larger park districts up in the Bay Area, the East Bay Regional Parks. One of the things that we're looking at when we're designing these is looking at park agencies that are large, that have implemented these designs over decades and have, they're tried and true. So these gates take a lot of abuse. We want to make sure that we're implementing something that's been through the ringer and has proven its worth. The materials that we're showing for the, both the fixed panel and the swing gate are untreated metal pipe. And so we would expect that it would age to a rusted patina. We want to try to avoid a painted surface because it does increase our maintenance burden. We don't have the staffing to come out and paint it every year. And really looking at our agricultural history, this is the type of aesthetic that we see over at the Snowhouse, which we manage those grounds. We've got some great references there for this unpainted steel pipe fencing. Okay, now moving down into the actual butterfly grove itself. These images show the existing condition. This image on the left was taken this past winter when we actually had rain shortly after a rainfall event. What you see here is a unknown construction. So this is probably a volunteer that came out and laid down these planks. The planks are now at a point where they're really degraded and from a liability perspective, we do need to remove those shortly. And so what we're looking at is how to get, you know, the thousands of visitors that come to the Butterfly Grove, as well as the thousands of folks that use this area recreationally from the neighborhood, how do we get them across Deborah Creek to the Butterfly Grove? And so the image on the right shows the Butterfly Grove viewing area in the background. This is looking southward. So if you were to traverse the creek crossing there, head up the hillside, you've got two options, either heading up to the right or to the left. You continue on, you get up to the mesa and then the beach beyond that for context. So, you know, from a design challenge and just an open space management challenge, we do want to provide all weather access. And there's a couple reasons for that. Obviously, the foot traffic creates impacts to the wetland. And then during certain times of the year, this is impassable. It's either flooded, completely inundated, or it's soggy and wet. And then when we do have butterflies, one of the unfortunate things that I have to do is field calls from visitors that want to come to the Butterfly Grove, but they have a loved one that they're taking care of that is not as mobile as some others in our community. And so they are either restricted because they're in a wheelchair or they have a walker or are on crutches. And at this point, we don't have an accessible route to the grove. And one of the things that we're looking at as a public agency is we are legally required now to provide access because we do have educational signage. It is considered a nature trail and it's certainly a destination. So we want to do all that we can to provide access, accessible access to the viewing area. And then I do want to just elaborate on that a little bit because it has raised some questions. I know we received some public comment on this item. We are proposing a wider trail plan that's not part of this presentation, but just know that we are designing trail improvements to basically closed trails where we have significant erosion issues and topographical challenges, and relocate those trails to areas that are less steep and can be more accessible for wheelchairs. So actually the California Building Code now, the latest update, includes nature trails and nature areas. And the provision there is that we should provide at least some wheelchair access for most of our accessible areas and routes in designated trail areas. So it's a real challenge, but we're up for it, and that's our goal here. And then I mentioned impacts to wetlands. Another component of this project is a wider look at Devereaux Creek and proposing actual creek restoration. So it's not just about replanting eucalyptus. We also have a robust creek restoration program that's being developed that includes native trees, wetland plants, and some grading. Okay, so let's take a look at what is actually proposed for this crossing. I also want to mention before we take a look at that rendering that we have another crossing that's downstream that is a secondary crossing. So it's a shorter span. And then for context, this is roughly about 120-foot span. We do need to take into consideration the FEMA flood maps and the actual floodway, and make sure that our proposed structure does not impact flood elevations. So here we have a rendering. For context, this is looking, again, same general direction towards the Butterfly Grove, looking due south. The structure itself is a raised boardwalk. It has helical piers. The structure materials are galvanized steel. So remember, we are within earshot of the ocean, and that was one of the considerations for the materials for this structure, is we do want to have a galvanized steel structure to resist rust over time. The helical piles are important because it does denote a less impactful footprint and construction methodology. So essentially those helical piles are steel pipes above ground. And so it does have a very minimal footprint, aesthetic footprint. And then the decking itself is proposed to be a grooved hardwood. And I'll have a more information on that on the next slide. In terms of the dimensions, I mentioned about 120 feet long. And for this crossing, we're proposing about an 8-foot wide walkway. We didn't want to go too wide, and one of the considerations is have enough width where two people can be walking one direction and another person walking the opposite direction could pass. That was kind of our design goal. One other item I want to just point out in this context is I mentioned creek restoration. So what you're seeing here in this rendering doesn't represent the full grow out of that creek restoration when it's matured. So from just an aesthetic standpoint, you could anticipate a lot more of the profile of this footbridge would be covered with vegetation. And so there wouldn't be necessarily just a clear view of the entire span. We would have riparian trees, cottonwood, sycamores on the upper banks, coast live oak,